Go with me to John. John chapter 3. Let's go to a very familiar scripture. Let's go to verse 16. It says, "For God so loved the world." Does everybody know this scripture? You ought to have this one memorized. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil." So here we have the Lord Jesus talking, and he's talking about what love really is. And it's the fact that God was willing to give us His Son, to let His Son be a sacrifice for our sins, to allow Him to be crucified on a cross to provide a way for you and I to go to heaven. That's the good news of the gospel, isn't it? Come on, somebody. You got saved because you believed that right there. You believe that Jesus came down here, died on a cross, was placed in a tomb, and on the third day He rose again. That's what got you saved. That's what bought your way into heaven. Sometimes we don't get excited about that enough. We get more excited about a miracle. We get more excited about God blessing us with something or whatever. But I'm going to tell you, the most important thing in your life is the fact that Jesus Christ is now your Lord and Savior. Amen. That's the reason we ought to come in rejoicing every time we come into church. Amen. So you can come in and be happy about this thing or that thing, but think about this. You don't have to go to hell. You get to go to heaven. Amen. I'm talking about making you happy now. Come on, somebody. You don't have that dread. You don't have that worry. You have the peace of God that passes all understanding, because you understand, I received Jesus as my Savior because God gave Him as my Savior. And now I am saved and I'm on my way to heaven because of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. Now see, that's something to get excited about. The church is way too quiet. We're not excited enough like we should be, because I'm going to tell you something. We're the only ones on the planet that win. Did you hear what I said? We're the only ones. There's countries and they got nuclear war bombs. They've got nuclear this, and they've got all this stuff that thinks it makes them powerful. But the truth is that it still burns. Come on. You're a child of God. You won't burn with the world. You're going to be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. Come on, think about that. Man, that's good news. The world's fighting over power and this thing and that thing, and it don't mean anything in the scope of eternity. What matters is, have you accepted Jesus Christ in your life? And if you have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ in your life, then you need to make sure you're living that. That's kind of what we're talking about today. But notice He says that whosoever believeth on Him should have life. Whoever will believe on Him. So if you'll believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, then you can have eternal life. But notice here that it says that he that believeth not is already condemned, because he's not believed on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. See, folks, he asks this question all the time. You hear it. Why would a good God send anybody to hell? If He's so good and loves everybody, why would He send them to hell? Because He's already made a way for you to go to heaven. And you have a choice. You understand this? God has given every person in the world a choice of eternal life in heaven or eternal damnation in hell. And He's allowing you to choose. Right? He that believeth has eternal life. He that believeth not is condemned already. They've condemned themselves. God didn't do it. He made a way for us to have life. But you see, a lot of folks want to blame it on God. See, there's a lot of stuff that gets blamed on God that God didn't do. or is not doing or has no part of. But people that don't know the Word, see, that's what they'll do. They'll blame it on God. They'll, you know, man, ignorance gone to seed a lot of times. Amen. You see, you've got to understand, if you see what the Word says and do what the Word says, then you'll get the reward or the results the Word says. But, you know, you can't just do what you want to do and think everything's going to be all right. If you don't believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you're already condemned. Already on your way to hell. We were all on our way to hell until we received Jesus as our Savior. Now we're on our way to heaven. But notice here, it says this is the condemnation. Here's the key to this thing. The reason a lot of folks are condemned or the condemnation or on their way to hell is it says because men loved darkness rather than light. Because their deeds were evil. In other words, they loved what they're doing. They loved the world more than they loved the fact that Jesus Christ came to give them eternal life. Amen. They would rather continue to live the lifestyle they're living and take the chance on going to hell than to give their life to Jesus and live for Him. So I'm here to encourage you today to make sure that you're living for Jesus. Amen. Notice that it got real quiet when I said because they love darkness better than light. But that's what the Bible says, right? Now listen to this. You can never accept the gift of salvation till you're willing to make a life change. Now you need to let that sink in for just a minute. You can't expect to live like the world and still go to heaven. A lot of folks, they out of their mouth, they'll talk about, you know, how they're saved and how they go to church. But man, their actions and the other things they say out of their mouth kind of remind you of James. You know, you can't give sweet water and salt water out of the same fountain. Out of the same mouth, they praise God one minute and curse somebody else the next minute. See, you can't. That's not what Christianity is. That's not what living the life is. Living the life is speaking what God says about us and what God says about others. Speaking out life, speaking out the eternal life that God has given us. Now, Nicodemus said this. He said, or came to Jesus by night. We'll read it here just in a minute. And he asked the Lord, he said, I understand that you're a teacher, you know, sent from God, you know, because nobody could do this thing. So I may just paraphrase a little bit. And Jesus looks at him and he says, Nicodemus, you must be born again. You must be born again. Nicodemus, thinking in the natural, says, you know, can a man when he's old enter into his mother's womb a second time? And Jesus looks at him and says, no, you've got to be born of the water and born of the Spirit. What was he just telling Nicodemus? He said, there's got to be a life change in you. There's something's got to happen. To be born again means the first time I was born wasn't good enough. It brought me into this natural world, but I need to be born again to be brought into the spiritual world. You've got to be born of the Spirit. And Nicodemus was having a hard time. He still questioned the Lord. And he says, well, think about it, Nicodemus. The wind blows whatever way it wants to blow, but you can't see it. All you can do is just see the motions from it. And he said, the Holy Spirit moves in ways that you can't see, but He's living inside of us now when we accept the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I wanted to bring one thing out of that, so you can drop over with me if you want to. Well, actually, you're there. If you just go back up to the first part of that chapter 3 there. Notice that he says, verse 5, let's just jump down, I've pretty well summarized the rest of it. You're right there in chapter 3. Verse 5 here, notice what he says. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh, now listen, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Notice that. We've got to be born of the Spirit. And once we're born of the Spirit, then there's going to be a life change. there's going to be a change in you. If there's no change in you, then you never got born again. Now, I didn't say that you was going to start acting like a saint just like that. That's not what I'm telling you. I'm telling you that there'll be a change happen in your life. Let me just read it to you here just a little bit. In Galatians, once you get born again, okay, Galatians 5:22, I'll just give this to you. But the fruit of the Spirit, see, he says you've got to be born of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. See, when we really give our heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, we become new creatures. Something takes place. That old nature, God talks about taking the stony heart out and putting a fleshly heart and writing His words on that. Once you're truly born again and the Spirit of God's living on the inside of you, there will be fruit from that. The fruit of the Spirit. Come on, you're not going to be that old ornery dog you used to be. Come on. See, you've got to understand, being born again might not take your craving of alcohol away. It might not take this away or that away, because the change starts on the inside in the spirit man. And those fleshly desires are something that you have to deal with. I'm going to prove it to you here just in a minute in the Word of God. But you see, there is that change on the inside. You become a new creature. I'm going to read it for you. I know you know it's very familiar. 2 Corinthians 5:17. If you're following along in the notes there that we always post, I made a misprint there and put 2 Corinthians 2:17, so you can mark that out or what, change it if you can change it. I don't know if it's going to be changing or not, but it's 5:17. 2 Corinthians 5:17, very familiar scripture. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, any person be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. Notice here, there's that lifestyle change to where we won't be like we were, because all things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new. We're a new creature living a new life because we've been born again. And so, you know, you don't just get born again and all of a sudden you know everything about the Word, you know everything about God. No. What happens with newborn babies? You got to nurture them up, raise them up, start out with milk, and then you just keep on, you know, thicken up the food a little bit, you know, unless you're a mama or a papa and you'll squeeze up some mashed potatoes or something like that and give when the parents don't know, right? Grandparents and... what they don't know won't hurt them, will it? And sure won't hurt the baby, because most of us were raised on that kind of thing, you know. But, you know, they raise them from a book now. But let's move on. Okay. But that baby's got to be nurtured and take care of. And that baby doesn't know anything. It has to be taught. You know, isn't it amazing that you can take a newborn baby and that you can take that same baby and put them in an English family and they'll learn to speak English? You could have put them in a Russian family and they would have learned to speak Russian. You could have put them in an Oriental family and they'd have learned to speak whatever language they spoke. Isn't that amazing? You know why? Because they don't know. They had to be taught. Well, see, Christians have to be taught. It's sad that in the nationwide church, the church is absolutely full of babies that don't know nothing. Oh, I know that makes people mad when I say that. And the reason I say that is because they don't read the Word for themselves. I'm not saying everybody's that way. There's some very, very good scholars out there. But I'm telling you, as a whole, most of the body has no idea what the Word of God says. And even some of them that know what it says don't know what it means. It's got to be taught. Amen. Do you remember when Philip came up to the eunuch? He's reading from the prophet Isaiah. And Philip asked him, said, "Do you understand what you're reading?" He said, "How can I accept some man? Help me." He said, I can't understand this. Can you help me?" Philip gets up there with him and begins from those scriptures to preach to him Christ. Notice that he didn't preach to him Jesus. Oh, there's a difference. Jesus is the Son of God. Christ is the Anointed One and His anointing. Christ is not Jesus' last name, by the way. A lot of folks don't know that. You see. So you have to be taught. So as you're being taught, that means not only am I taught the Word, but I need to be taught how to behave. How I'm supposed to act now that I'm born again into this new life, into this new family. I can't act like I did when I was in that other family. I can't act like I did when I was in darkness, because now I'm in light. Because I loved the light and I accepted the light. I accepted Jesus in my life. Now my life should give off light. And a lot of folks have never been taught, you know, but the Bible tells us what to do. But if you don't know what the Word says, how can you do it? So we've got to learn, church, that we're new creatures now, and we need to be living the life the Word says we can live, not what people think. I'm talking about not even what preachers think. There's a lot of preachers that don't tell you about the life you can have in Christ. Come on. Most they ever tell you is you've got to get saved or you're going to hell. And after they've told you that, that's about all you'll get told. Now, I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just saying that they don't know that they ought to be teaching. They were never taught, and so they don't know to teach. You know, thank God we're coming to a place and we're in an age of information you can find. But I will say this. You can get on the Internet and find anything you want to find. So don't worry so much about getting on the Internet and trying to research, because you'll find some nut out there that'll tell you anything you want to hear. Get the Word of God out. And look in the Word of God and see if what they say is backed up by the Word of God. And more than just one place. Because, see, the Bible, you interpret the Bible by the Bible. You look and see what is the characteristics of God. And if this person's telling me that, you know, you just have to realize that if I'm going to live this life, I got to live it the way the Word says and not what somebody else is saying. I got to do what it says. And so I do that because now I'm a new creature. The old things have passed away and everything's become new. Now, that doesn't mean, again, that your flesh doesn't try to draw you to stuff. But you see, you've got to crucify that flesh. You've got to get rid of it. Let me just show it to you in Ephesians chapter 4 here. Ephesians chapter 4. And let's go over to verse 17. Let me give that to you in the New Living. Maybe it'll help just a little bit. It says this in the New Living. With the Lord's authority, I say this. Live no longer as the Gentiles do, for they are hopelessly confused. You know what he just said? Don't live like the world. They don't know a bit more what they're doing than nothing. It proves out every day if you just watch the news a little while. Amen. You know, don't watch too much of it, though, because it'll just make you mad. But it's happening. They're hopelessly confused, he says, so don't do like them. Their minds are full of darkness. They wander far from the life of God, they wander far from the life God gives, because they've closed their minds and hardened their hearts against Him. They've closed their minds and hardened their hearts against God. That's why they won't believe anything the Word says. That's why they don't believe what God says. That's why they are trying to take down 10 commandments. That's why they're trying to do away with God in our nation, is because they don't believe in God and don't believe anything He says. Well, thank you, preacher, for telling us that. Yeah. See, that's what's going on right now, is they don't even know God, but they're trying to tell us how we ought to be living our lives. And a lot of folks are listening to them. Come on, they mashed you up once. You're going to let them do it again? Shut down our churches. Come on, don't get mad at me because I'm telling the truth. You were here to see it. Some of you were. Come on. So you've got to understand, the world doesn't know what they're doing. They just find a puppet to put out there and tell you what to do and expect you to follow that. Amen. So we got to make sure that we're doing what the Word says. And the Word says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, but even more so as you see the day approaching. In other words, better be getting in church, because I can see the day approaching. I don't know about you. Come on, church. When you see what's going on against the nation of Israel, and see how that all those other countries over there are kind of just against them, and then you look in the beautiful United States of America, the greatest nation in the world, and see streets full of people that are against Israel, then you see streets full of people that are against God and Christianity. They can say what they want to about it, but it's there. And a lot of them are in our government now, making decisions for you who don't believe what your country was founded on. See, I'm just talking about, so we can't live our lives like they do or after what they say. We got to live according to the Word of God and do what the Word of God says. So he goes on and says they've closed their minds, hardened their hearts against him. They have no sense of shame. They live for lustful pleasure and eagerly practice every kind of impurity. But that isn't what you learned about Christ. Since you've heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from him, now look at this. Throw off your old sinful and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Notice you've got to throw it off. I think your King James says, put off the old man. That's that fleshly part. That's those desires. You've got, you know, the only way you can lose weight is to put off the food. Was that making some sense to you? Right? That gets us all right there. You know, if you're on a diet, you have to make decisions not to eat this. Right? How many knows that takes a great amount of willpower? Come on. When it comes to putting off the old man, it's the same thing. Because it's the same flesh that tells you to eat that piece of cake. Right? That's the same flesh that's telling you to do something that's against God. Whatever that thing was, the old man, whatever the old man did that was sinful. Same flesh. So you have to tell it no, just like you have to just look at the cake and say, nope, can't do that because I'm trying to lose weight. Well, see, after a little while, I don't know if you all have done this before. I can remember we had even got together one time and some of us were dieting here. And we all got into it pretty good. And at that time then, if I started to eat something I wasn't supposed to eat because we were doing this, I felt guilty about it. That was just a diet. Well, what happened? I got in a habit of doing the right thing. And if my body wanted to do the wrong thing, I felt guilty about it. I knew better. I was quickened about it. Well, you know what? You start doing the right thing in living for God. After a while, if your old flesh wants to do something wrong, the Holy Spirit will say, uh-uh, you can't do that. And after a while, you get to where you're glad you're doing what you're doing. You're glad that you're walking in the... You're glad you're not living that old life anymore. Man, I look back and I think, man, I'm glad I'm not who I used to be. Hey, man, aren't you glad you're not who you used to be? Man, I am so glad. You know, I touch on it a little bit. And I probably shouldn't, but because we're talking about old lives, but I'll touch on it a little bit. You know, 30 some years ago, back in 1985, I started a video store here in this county. And that video store had X-rated movies in it. I've told you all about this many times, you know, but it was a video store. Now, in 1987, the Lord started dealing with my heart. And I said, you know what? Can't have this store that rents F-rated movies in it. Part of it, very small part of it, like 10%. I said, you know what? We got to get rid of it. Pastor had agreed. She didn't like it anyway. We got to get rid of this because we're going to live for Jesus. We sold that thing and started living for Jesus. Thank God. A life change. See, that when we decided to walk in this life, we realized we couldn't do the old things we did. We were offered, like at that time, $60,000 at one time for that video store. When I gave, we rededicated our life to Jesus, we sold the thing for $15,000. You know why? I want rid of it. Now, I was still wanting a little bit of money because we'd poured our life into it. But we got rid of it because there was a life change. We become new creatures because we'd rededicated our lives and we was living for God. Now, if you look on the internet, you know, there's a lot of them saying, you know, I used to run a porn shop, you know. That's all, you know. I know some of you have been listening to all this junk out there, you know. And I thought one of the persons that said that, I looked at the pictures and I said, your mama used to come to my porn shop. It was a video store. There was like two or three in every city, you know, and it was. But, you know, when you're trying to make out a bad scenario and trying to lie and whatever, you'll say all kinds of stuff. And that's what's happening, going on, a lot of that junk. But we're not like that because we're new creatures in Christ. We're going to walk in truth. I'm not proud of my past, but I've got one. And so have you. But thank God, when I made Jesus Christ Lord of my life, all things passed away, and behold, all things became new. All my sin was thrown to the depths of the sea, never to be remembered anymore by Jesus or God. People will always cause that. People, the devil is accuser of the brethren, and the people that let the devil work through them will always accuse you. But the truth is, we've been set free by the blood of Jesus Christ. Aren't you glad for that? Living this life, praise God. You know, praise God. And it just the things amaze me of how people that don't live life for God, how they live, they talk, they don't care. But one of these days, there's a day of reckoning. Yeah, right. One of these days, Jesus is going to judge them for how they lived, what they said, what they've done. Now, my prayer is this, and it's a hard prayer, but my prayer is that they give their life to the Lord Jesus Christ before that time comes. Because I don't want to see anybody go to hell, no matter what they say, what they do. Nobody deserves hell when Jesus Christ has paid the price for them to be able to go to heaven. Amen. So we got to live this. We're new creations. New creations. Now, let me read on. I kind of got off. He says, put off that. Throw off your sinful nature. Verse 23. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. So stop telling lies. Let us tell our neighbors the truth, for we're all parts of the same body. And don't sin by letting your anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you're still angry, for anger gives a foothold to the devil. If you're a thief, quit stealing. Instead, use your hands for good work, and then give generously to others in need. Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful, so that your words will be an encouragement to those that hear them. Sounds like a good lifestyle right there, doesn't it? Praise God. That looks like one that is going to glorify God. See, here's the thing. The life you're living right now is all that matters. It doesn't matter whether you were a saint or a sinner. Amen. You could have been a terrible person when you were in the world, you know, alcoholic, drug pusher, no matter what. But once Jesus forgave you, it's gone. Once He forgave you, but you could have also been one of those people that were great. Nobody said I had anything bad to say about you. You were always good character. You could have been that, but you were still in the same condition as the person that was a sinner. Because you were a sinner too, because you had not yet accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. So see, all the past things, whether we were good or bad, only thing matters is right now, how we're living our lives. Can I tell you something? It don't matter if you can quote the Bible forward and backwards. If you're not living it, it don't mean a thing. It don't mean anything. You see people all the time talking, you know, like they know what the Word says and all that stuff. But you look at their lifestyle and the things they do, and you understand and know they don't have a clue about living the life of God. God wants us living this life. See, our job is to be an example of a believer. It's what Paul told Timothy. Go with me to, well, I'll just quote it to you. 1 Timothy 4:12. Paul says to Timothy, who is a pastor, he says, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, that's lifestyle, in charity, that's love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. He says, let them look at you and see what it's supposed to be like to be a child of God. You be an example of a believer to the world. Church, that's our job, is to be an example. Look here with me, Matthew, last scripture, Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Look at verse 14 here. He says, this is the Lord Jesus speaking now. He says, you're the light of the world. A city that's set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light to all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Notice that. See, our light is simply a reflection of Jesus in our life. Brother Mike talked about it, and I've talked about it before, but, you know, we look at the moon, and the moon has no light of its own. It has no light capabilities. All the moon does is reflect the light of the sun. Y'all, most of you should have known that. Did you hear what I said? The moon reflects the light of the sun. So when you see the moon and it's lit up, that's not lit up by itself. That's the sun reflecting off the moon toward earth. When people see our light, what they see is Jesus reflecting off of us onto them. You see, the moon reflects the S-U-N. You and I reflect the S-O-N. And so in our lifestyles, we need to make sure that we're living that kind of life that people would see us and say, you know what? I need to be a Christian. I need to make sure I'm living for God, because it looks like God is giving them some good life. And that's the life I want. Amen? Would you stand with me? Let's pray. Father, we just ask you today, Lord, that you help us, God, to live the life that you've given us, Father God, to operate in the promises of your word that brings eternal life, but not only eternal life, but blessing here in this life, Father God. You are the God that wants your children blessed at all times. And so help us, Father God, to live out your word, live by your word, and give you glory in everything that we do. And Father, I just pray right now, if there's somebody in this house that has not made you Lord of their life yet, they've not accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, that today's the day they'll say, I accept Jesus into my life. Thank you, Father God, for dealing with those hearts. And I give you glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If that's you, you're in this place right now, and you're not born again, you've not been saved. It's so simple. God made it so easy. He loved you so much, loved us all so much, that He sent His Son Jesus to become sin for us and be crucified on a cross, placed in a tomb, and rose again on the third day so that you and I could receive Him as our Lord and Savior. He loved you that much. You think about that. And Jesus, speaking in John, said the condemnation is that people won't believe it. If you're here and you say, well, I believe it, I've not accepted Him. What's keeping you from accepting Him? What is it that's in the darkness that you love better than knowing beyond a shadow of a doubt that you're on your way to heaven? See, the only way you'll get to heaven is by accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior. He's the only name given under heaven among men whereby we can be saved. If you're in this place and that's you, you want to come be saved, you want to come pray, I'll pray with you. Just come give your life to Jesus. Don't wait another minute. Don't take another chance with your life and eternity. Make Jesus Lord of your life. Is there anybody in this house? If you want to come, come.